Relations Board is a referee between labor and management. It protects the right of workers to join unions, not to be discriminated against on account of union activity. And it also conducts votes to which oblige employers to bargain with unions when a majority of workers support the union. All of this will go away, and workers will be completely defenseless if the board has only two members on January 1, as it looks as though will be the case at this moment.
When was the NLRB set up, and what exactly then would happen? Why would there be no recess? Because that's why how there would be no recess appointment.
Well, the National Labor Relations Board was set up in the Great Depression. It was one of President Roosevelt's initiatives at that time, in 1935. The House of Representatives this year has devised a tactic not previously engaged in, where they refused to allow the Senate, by not signing the necessary papers, to go into recess. And if the Senate is not in recess, President Obama is precluded from making recess appointments. I should point out that this tactic, and it is a tactic that's being employed to stifle the president, is one that has, so far as I'm aware, never been used before. Usually it's the Senate that makes these decisions, not the House of Representatives.
Professor Gould, you wrote in your op-ed piece in the New York Times, workers illegally fired for union organizing won't be reinstated with back pay. Employers will be able to get away with interfering with union elections. Perhaps most important, employers won't have to recognize unions despite a majority vote by workers. Elaborate on this.
Well, the National Labor Relations Board, which will, unless it has three members on January 1, go out of business for the purpose of resolving disputes between labor and management, is the agency that conducts votes, that obliges employers to bargain with unions, and which protects workers through remedies, including reinstatement and back pay, when workers are discriminated against for union activity.
What do you think President Obama needs to do now to make this issue public? Very few people understand that this would be the first time the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, would be unable to function.
Yes, well, the president needs to spotlight this issue. He has, of course, many things on his plate right now, but he needs to make this front and center so that the general population knows what's at stake here. Most of this is not very well known. The labor movement hasn't said very much about it thus far, and he needs to spotlight it. He needs to, if necessary, make this a campaign issue in 2012 to highlight the obstructionism that the House of Representatives is engaging in.
In a letter to the president Monday, 47, all 47 Republican senators said President Obama should allow the Senate to consider his nominees, Sharon Block and Richard Griffin. Last comment, Professor Gould.
Well, the Senate certainly should consider President Obama's nominees very quickly. At a minimum, they should allow him to make a recess appointment and not to be moved around and pressured improperly, in my view, by the House of Representatives.
Professor Gould, I want to thank you for being with us. Law professor at Stanford University, served as chair of the NLRB from 1994 to 98, authored the book Labored Relations, Law, Politics, and the NLRB, a memoir. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Jerry D., and this is the WUSB Concert Billboard for December 19th through the 23rd, 2011. On Monday the 19th, Tuesday the 20th, and Wednesday the 21st, Matis Yahu will be at the Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn at 8 p.m. On Thursday, December 22nd, Bending Towards the Light, a Jazz Nativity, will be at B.B. King's in Manhattan at 7:30 p.m. The Ramblers will be at the Living Room in Manhattan at 11 p.m. On Friday, December 23rd, the Harlem Gospel Choir will be at B.B. King's in Manhattan at 12:30 in the afternoon. Kenny Rogers, A Christmas Show, will be at the NYCB Theater in Westbury at 8 p.m. Kenzie Six, Oy Vey in a Manger, Christmas Carols and Other Jewish Music, will be at the Highline Ballroom in Manhattan at 8 p.m. Carrie Kearney will be at the Eastport Luncheonette in Eastport at 7 p.m. Geralds, Moran, and Scalzo will be at Cayo Baby in Comac at 10 p.m. Johnny G will be at K.G. Farrell's in Belmore at 10 p.m.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area, or maybe try out one you haven't heard before. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And tonight we continue in our travel series that was recorded last winter, almost a year ago, in fact. We're quickly catching up. This particular episode is actually the last in this series of winter travel. We'll be moving on to summer travel series, catching up on that in the weeks ahead. But this particular episode will be coming to you from Paris. Now, Paris is a city that can be found in the Western European nation of France. It's quite a populous place. They have a lot of activity. They have some pretty decent food over there, in fact, too. They speak a language known as French. And, gosh, not much more I can say about the place other than the fact that it's extremely nice in the winter. And also the summer, probably all year long. So what you're going to be hearing for the next, 35 minutes or so, actually, for the remainder of the hour, you'll be hearing some French radio, but also you'll be hearing kind of an adventure. Well, not really an adventure. It's sort of a bit of an exaggeration. You'll be hearing kind of a procedure as Kyle and I try to find something inside a particular traditional food from Switzerland. Yeah, there's a whole lot of things going on in Europe in January. And January 6th is known as Three Kings Day in Switzerland. And what happens is you get this this pastry, kind of like a roll, and inside one of the pieces is this little statue of a king that you have to be very careful not to choke on. And if you're the lucky kid who gets the statue, you get to wear a crown. And it's quite a lot of fun, except that the piece you're about to hear, we were up at an ungodly hour. We had to actually head back to the United States that very day, so we knew that we had to get through that pastry very quickly to find the king and record some audio so that the people back in the States could enjoy the radio. So that's what you'll be hearing, in addition to some interesting Parisian radio that was recorded at the time. In fact, I think what we'll do is we'll move into that first. We'll play some French radio, just so that I guess we can prove that we were over there in Paris. This is what the radio sounds like.
Personnage, on va aller un petit peu plus vite parce qu'après il faut qu'on rentre dans l'histoire même. Il y a un autre. En même temps, ça nous permet de parler des couples et c'est quand même le sujet du livre. Enfin, également le sujet du livre. Il y a aussi Lola et Samuel.
Alors Lola, elle, c'est la plus jeune, elle a 38 ans. Je t'interromps
dans 4 minutes, on va dire.
Allez. Et puis, c'est une fille qui, elle, a un lourd et essentiel passé et secret. Elle l'a jamais formulé, elle l'a jamais dit à personne. C'est quelque chose qui lui est arrivé quand elle avait 16 ans. Et tout d'un coup, elle décide d'en parler. Et elle était accompagnée de Samuel. Tous les ans, elle arrive avec un petit jeune.
Oui, voilà, il est beaucoup plus jeune.
Beaucoup plus jeune. Et tous les ans, elle en change. Et voilà, c'est sa façon d'être libre.
And that's pretty much the way it is. All day long, all night long. This is what French radio sounds like. So we're going to fade this out and go directly into what happened on an early French morning.
Contre toute attente, pourquoi? Parce que d'habitude, ils s'en foutent, quoi, les petits jeunes.
Non, puis lui, il est un peu naïf, il vient de sa province.
Well, good morning, Kyle. It's a Monday morning in Paris. We're standing on a balcony. And it's loud and noisy and dirty, and I love this city. It's really amazing.
Yeah, what up?
We just woke up. Actually, we have to leave. We have to go back to the States. But I figured, you know, what better way to say goodbye to this place than to just sort of stand out here in the cold air a little bit and just reminisce, perhaps. And also, we have something special here. You want to crinkle the bag a little bit? Yeah, that's actually a memory from Switzerland. It's called the Three Kings Cake. Apparently, on January 6th, there's this holiday that a lot of kids get into, where you buy a cake, and It comes in a bunch of pieces, and if you get the piece that has a king in it, literally a plastic piece of a king, then you get to wear the crown for the whole day, or spend the whole day in intensive care if you choke on it. I'm not really sure how they get away with that, but what we're going to do now, since I won, I had the first package on the train, and I got to wear the crown, we're going to try quickly to go through what we have here before we catch our train to the airplane to go back home.
Yeah.
You said you'd be a little bit low-key today because you just woke up, but wow, you weren't kidding, were you?
Yeah, what up?
This is what Kyle's like in the morning. All right, well then, would you please open the bag and we can start with this. All right, since you were the loser last time, I'm going to allow you to pick the first cake, and then I'll pick the... That's okay, you've just picked the crown out. This does not get to be worn until we have a winner. And the rule is whoever wins has to wear this all day long. I just want to see you
go through customs
wearing a crown.
You are putting the crown in your pocket.
Well, I'm putting it in my pocket for safekeeping.
But that's not fair.
You know what? It's sticky. I'm not putting it in my pocket. Ew.
Put it on the ground. It's in a package.
Fine. It's on the ground.
Oh, my ride's here.
Yeah, that's the street cleaner downstairs. It's really cool in Paris. Almost every time I stay here, I get a balcony. And you can spend hours just standing out in the street watching the world go by.
All right. Pick your piece.
No, I said pick your piece, remember? You were going to pick the piece first. Let's not bicker about this so early in the morning.
I didn't even hear that. Okay, I'm picking my piece.
All right, I'm picking my piece.
Do you have to eat the whole thing? Or
I have to eat the whole thing.
Until somebody gets the...
Oh, well, if somebody wins, then you can do whatever you want.
The whole thing, I mean the whole thing in the package.
Well, with our luck, it's going to be the last piece. Let me also stress that it's important not to wolf this down, because there is a plastic piece of a king in there.
And yeah, I know. Well, not my first
you're
day.
Talking with your mouth full, too, so I'm just worried that you're going to choke on a king. All right. Well, it's a hazard in Switzerland, and you know there's a cake in New Orleans that does this too, but they have a baby in it. It's totally different. Oh, I haven't gotten the king yet. Am I welcome to?
No king.
All right. So we're looking down on a very busy street, right by Gare du Nord, which is the northern train station. They have a lot of big train stations.
Yeah, we are looking down at Gare du Nord. But have you described this cake? It's not cake. It's like a roll.
It's a good thing it's not like cake, because there's like 8 pieces of it. But it is sweet.
It's sweet, but it's like a dinner roll. They have these Hawaiian-style buns they make. Big bread companies make them. But they're branded as like Hawaiian sweet rolls or like dinner rolls. It's kind of like that. It's got sugar, and this one has nuts on it, but it's sans raisins.
Do you think I could hit this guy with this roll from here? The guy in back of the van there? If I could beat him right on the head, I'll bet.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't be playing a game.
That's true, but I'd be playing a different game. It might be a very dangerous game, too, but boy, I'm so tempted just standing here.
Yeah, they're looking at us. I think you blew your cover.
Are those cops?
Yeah.
On those motorcycles?
Cops on dandy
horses. Four motorcycle cops passing by downstairs.
Dandy horses.
Are those the cops, or is that the bus making the megaphone noise?
That was the bus.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're near Gare du Nord, where we're going to be leaving on a flight. I'm actually really nervous because of the incident last time regarding photos. And I shouldn't be, because I've made it through Paris Airport with film before. We've talked about this on the show before. Well, last time I went through Paris... Charles de Gaulle, Paris Airports, L'Airports à Paris, or de Paris, whatever. They gave me a really bad time, and they threatened to call the police because I was pleading my case for not having my film x-rayed. And let's just say I'm not too excited about this. I know it'll be fine. I shaved a nice goatee.
You changed your personal appearance to suit those people?
Yeah, I was just going to mention the beret that I bought.
I was going to ask about that.
But, in any event, I'm ready to go. We've been here for a month. or so, and you know, this was a good last couple days here in Paris. We actually got a lot done yesterday.
Paris was a very relaxing place for me. I don't know, there's something about the city. It's dirty, noisy, like I said, but there's something so incredible about it. We just walked around yesterday on Sunday and just took in all these incredible sights that were completely unplanned, like a demonstration for Michael Jackson. I'm not exactly sure what that was about to this day. A whole bunch of police, like, massing for something that didn't happen. All kinds of strange things. No, what did you just realize?
These guys are the guys that are going to fix the hot water in this hotel.
Are those the guys? Okay, well, they made us, first of all, because they looked up here. They see us talking on a microphone. But, yeah, our hotel hasn't had hot water for the last 2 days. And you know what? It doesn't bother me so much.
Go on. It should bother me.
Well, no, I'm past that. It shouldn't bother me. I also finished with my first roll, and you should finish, too, because we're going to miss our train, or miss our plane, actually. There's many trains.
I'm trying to make you choke on this.
I'm trying to make you finish, because it's not in the first one that I have. And you got to pick the second one.
All right. Man. Tell them about the protest.
I'm going to get sick with all these rolls. I mentioned that. I don't know what it's about. You know, demonstrating for Michael Jackson's rights.
Well, but, I talked to them. They're just really against Conrad Lee. Is that his name? Dr. Conrad?
Isn't he on trial or something?
Yeah, but I don't get... And they're upset about money and all that.
Hey, I hear that. Who isn't upset about money? But I don't know.
I think that AEG and Sony, like... equal Conrad Murray, you know, killing Michael. But it was Michael's money that funded Conrad Murray and all the drugs he was on. I don't know. I don't understand.
It doesn't make it all right.
I support it.
If Michael Jackson puts out a hit on himself, it doesn't make it all right. You know, someone still has to pay.
That's right. Because he's Michael Jackson. And...
yeah, they are coming into the hotel with pipe and stuff and... I guess they're going to fix the hot water just in time for us to leave.
Are you ready to pick your piece? We really do have to hurry.
Yeah.
I've been trying to tell you to hurry up.
Can I have a drink of water from the... I'm going to take the middle one.
The middle one?
Yeah, I decided to... There you go.
Get greedy?
Well, how's that getting greedy? I'm just picking the middle one instead of the one on the side. Yeah, okay. Well, you gotta, I can't start it till you finish your first one.
I don't even know if I finish this one.
Yeah, I don't know if you found the king.
What if the cleaning lady comes... and closes the window, and we're stuck out on the balcony.
Okay, the cleaning lady doesn't come on the last day. I've learned this. It only comes when you're going to be there. Otherwise, you have to clean the room a second time after you leave. What do you think of Zurich, though? Because we never really gave concluding remarks about Zurich, especially in comparison to Paris.
I would be interested in moving a large amount of money there. I haven't yet talked to all of the private bankers I was hoping to meet with, but they seem to take their customers seriously, and, well, I'm willing to move some of the funds from my foundation, as well as some of my other ventures to several of the private banks that I saw.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Switzerland has a lot of banks, a lot of money, a lot of expensive stuff. We got through it, let's put it that way.
And I might buy a castle, too.
If you find yourself in a major city like Zurich, and it happens to be after 10 o'clock, good luck finding any food anywhere.
Yeah, You were upset about that, and I didn't really...
I wouldn't be upset about that. Good Lord, it's a city. You expect to find food at night. Paris, we can find food at 2 in the morning. New York, 4
in
the morning.
Start eating your roll.
Do I have to? Well, pick your next roll before I start this one.
I wasn't interested in what you were saying.
Well, I'm as interested in getting through this as you are, but... You know...
This is disgusting. All right, so...
This is the last Swiss culture we have.
This is worse than the Olive Garden.
Yeah. But, you know, you did have something happen to you, or to us, in Zurich that we didn't mention... Involving mass transit. Do you want to talk about that when we were on the tram?
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about it now.
Yeah.
Are we recording?
Yes, Kyle, we're recording. Be careful chewing.
Oh. They checked us. We got challenged by undercover train security guards. And I honestly thought these guys were like a couple. they walked onto the train, and they were, like, talking really close to each other. I was, like, convinced that, okay, they're partners, they're, who knows what, brothers, best friends, I don't know. Standing there, having real close conversation, I was just doing people watching as I normally, or often do, and I thought to myself, boy, you know, I wonder what these guys are all about, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the train doors close, and I turn to you, I turn to you, because I'd been looking at these gents, these guys just standing there. And I begin to engage in a short conversation with you. Sorry, I almost ate some hair. My hair is getting really long.
Yeah, it wasn't from the roll.
Right, so, anyway, not, you know, a second or two or three later, after the doors close, I get a tap on my shoulder, and it's the very same guys I had been, you know, one of them, with his little scanning barcode thing, and he wants my ticket. And I was really stunned. I was like, whoa, it's like that. You know, I gave some sort of kind of flabbergasted expression, which he wasn't really hearing much of. And then, you know, presented my proof of purchase, all that for the tram.
They went through the car very quickly, got everybody. And the way the system works, as it does in many parts of Europe, not here in Paris, though, but in many parts, you simply get your ticket, board the mass transit, and you're trusted to have a ticket. If you get challenged, as we did, then you must have a ticket. If you don't, you get fined a huge amount of money, something like 80 euro or maybe 100 euro, which you have to present on the spot.
Just kidding.
You did not get the king inside.
I didn't get the king. I was just messing with you.
You know, we're through two rolls now, and neither one of us has gotten the king.
There's three left.
And how does that work exactly with the third one? That's going to be contentious.
We split it.
How do we? If you split it, you're going to see the king in the middle.
I bite one half, and you bite the other half. Oh,
this is
going to
be
in the middle.
It'll be a great day. All right, fine. Well, maybe there's a king still in this one. I wonder if ever they make a batch of these without a king at all, and it ruins some kid's day.
Well, I mean, a parade isn't a parade unless it traumatizes at least one child.
That's what I always say. You know what bothers me is that we haven't heard one of those sirens yet. Yeah, it's so noisy here. And it's a Monday morning. It's noisy, but I figured it'd be more noisy than it is right now. I thought it'd be sirens and all kinds of, like, hubbub going on.
Oh, I was going to say, we could be in Atlanta for all these people know.
Definitely not Atlanta. I don't know what it is about Paris, but I just feel very comfortable here. And just able to get places, even though I don't know where I'm going, I get lost all the time. The mass transit system is so chaotic and so old, but it does work. Does
everything
get you places?
Is old in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It's all falling apart. They don't. It doesn't seem to matter.
No, our hot water doesn't work. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. I mean, the flag on top of Gare du Nord is in tatters.
It really is. It's missing one of the colors. There's three colors in the French flag, and one of them's gone.
Yeah, there's three of them. The middle one is hanging by the wire, so it's halfway down the pole, connected to one part of the wire. You know, it's not waving. This one's waving blue and dingy white, with the red completely ripped off and in shreds. I mean, I don't even see the red. The rest of it's in shreds, the white part. The middle, the last flagpole has no flag at all.
I think maybe they just lost the key to the roof of Gare du Nord, and that no one can get up there to change the flag.
Are you ready for another piece?
Now, I'm ready for you to finish the second piece you have so we can start on the third piece. We really got to step it up a notch because, you know, that train's not going to wait for us. And by the way, speaking of the trains, there's two different kinds of trains in the city proper. There's the Metro and there's the RER. And there's that siren I was hoping for. Isn't that cool?
They have those in Atlanta now.
They do?
No, I'm just kidding.
Why do you keep mentioning Atlanta?
I'm in a really weird mood.
I don't like Atlanta. I'm sorry, all the listeners in Atlanta, but it's... I'm sorry. I just don't like it that much. Listen.
No, that was anticlimactic.
Yeah, they always turn on that Doppler thing whenever they go by. I don't know how they know where I am, but they always do that. But in any event, the RER trains, they basically have letter designations, A, B, C, D, E, whereas the Metro is 1 through, I think, 14. And the RER trains, you will never know by looking at one what letter it is, because they don't have the letters on the trains anywhere. What they do have is a four-letter code at the front of every train, and it looks like a name of some sort, like Pepe or Mona. And they all have these four-letter codes, and I've always asked myself, what does that mean? It doesn't have any correlation to the letter of the train, yet it's on the front. Why do the French name their trains and not tell you which train it is? Apparently there is a system, but I can't really get to the bottom of it. But it has to do with what stations that train will go to. There are certain choices. It can branch off and go, you know, to the left, or it can go to the right. Somehow those four letters tell you, and it's not based on the four letters of the station, like the beginning four letters or the first letter four times or whatever. It's based on something which I have not yet tracked down. There is a system, and the French seem to get it. I don't. I've tried this many times. It's just fascinating watching a system work that you have absolutely no grasp of. I was hoping in all that time that you would have finished that role, but you're still working on it.
What else did we see?
Well, what else did we see? My goodness.
We had a great day yesterday.
We did, climbed to the top of Notre Dame, which I know is not high on your list, no pun intended, of things to do, because me too, climbing up great heights is not exactly fun. It can be really scary. And the French seem to have no problem with that. They just climb on the sides of buildings like monkeys and look over the edge of things. It's no big deal at all. They got their Arc de Triomphe and their skyscrapers.
Tour d'Eiffel.
Oh, that bus almost hit the other bus. That was really close. Yeah. And look, it's bus number 26. How about that? What do you think of Notre Dame, though?
Pretty cool. It's a big stone church.
They built that in the 1960s.
I don't think so, pal.
Well, you can always try and tell history to people. Sometimes they'll accept it. Sometimes they'll refuse.
Take your piece.
How come I'm picking the pieces now? No, you got to pick the next piece. I picked the second one. You picked the third, but you got to finish your second one before you pick the third one. Rules are rules, Kyle.
Anyway, it's 69 meters tall.
Yes, but before you go back to that, I just wanted to say one thing about the siren before I forget. What would happen if some cop decided to use that siren in the United States, you know?
Yeah, I've wondered this. I would like to know if foreign sirens are illegal, because I know...
Are illegal.
Uh-huh. If you play regular American sirens, which you hear in Europe sometimes, but officially...
Yeah, they use our sirens. We just don't use theirs.
Sometimes, in different places. If you play an American, or, you know, a domestic siren, it's illegal. You know, you can get... Because you're trying to impersonate a, you know, whatever, police officer or ambulance or something, and it's dangerous. But if you play a foreign one in America where none of the police cars or ambulance are going to be using it, is that legal or not? I would like to know this.
Well, the only way to find out is to do it and see if you get arrested.
Yeah, I got bigger things to be test cases
for. Well, our listeners do demand to know things like this, and I think that since we've brought it up, we now have to follow through. Okay, you've picked your third role. I'm picking my third role. And, God, I hope it's in one of these, because I'm about to puke off the side of this building. There's too many damn roles in a short period of time.
Yeah, I'm sick of this, dude.
All right. My hands are getting cold, too.
Yeah, my hands are freezing.
Yeah, I'm just in a cranky mood altogether, because it's a Monday and we're traveling.
Oh, God.
I'm not looking forward to the whole film thing. But I am going to be by your side, and we're going to make sure that things work out. In fact, why don't we update the people a little bit later on in this broadcast as to what exactly happened. We won't tape it as it happens. No, no. We're not going to do... Well, should we do that? No, no. That could get us in trouble.
I could record it on my phone.
Yeah, but if they look at it, I don't know. Okay, well, we'll consider that. We went to the library.
Oh, wow, that was awesome. Yeah, okay, so we were looking for things to do, and we were finding ourselves staring at the train map. And, you know, earlier I thought a library would be a good place to go, especially if we need a connectivity. Often libraries have internet connectivity. Turns out that wasn't a big problem, but I still found the library on the map and suggested we go there. And that was a treat. And when I looked at it on the map, they have a little, like, drawing of a building, a very big building. So I figured this is a pretty impressive library. Unfortunately, we arrived there a little bit late. It was at night.
Careful you don't take too big a bite. You might swallow the king.
I have nothing to say about this. Whose idea was this again?
I don't know. Let's just get through it. Right, continue with your memories of the library.
Oh. Yeah, we walked down there and they literally closed the doors in our face. Which you don't normally get at a library.
I get that all the time at libraries.
Yeah. Love librarians. Absolutely. Love them.
It's the library security guards that are problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty harsh. But anyway, the library in France, the main library, La Bibliothèque de France.
François Mitterrand,
correct. It's got four L-shaped, or it's four towers at each corner, and they are at a right angle, and are something like 20 stories high, maybe more. I mean, they were really tall. And
really huge.
And the center is maybe four stories down, and it's like a football field or two full of trees.
And chirping birds. Birds that are awake even at night, which is incredible.
Oh
my God, we got a king in your mouth. We got a king in your mouth. Oh, this is very exciting. Everybody, he's got the king. Oh, wow, look at that little white king. In
oh, man.
That's about an inch long and maybe
the king.
Quarter of an inch wide, made out of plastic, and just, oh, wow. How does that feel to bite into a king? Kyle, you get to wear the crown through the airport and through airport security and every other thing that we go through today. Yeah, that is the highlight of a Swiss child's day on January 6th. Of course, it's now January 10th. These things only last for a day.
Can you throw the rest of this away?
Yeah, please. I can't. Oh, thank God.
No wonder it expired.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about, let's just quickly wrap up. Can I have a drink of water, please?
Yeah.
I'm really, you were talking about the library.
Oh, yeah. So the middle is like, got these really, really tall trees and birds chirping and everything. And it's surrounded by this inner core of like four stories. And on top of the roof of that is basically a boardwalk. So there is a sort of a frame around the trees of boardwalk. And then at each corner of the frame is these very tall buildings that are part of the library. And it's huge. It's magnificent. It's really beautiful. It's right on the water. There's a bridge that goes over the water that connects right with the top level of the boardwalk.
Wait, is that the water, or was that a highway went over?
Oh, there was a body of water.
There was water, too. Okay, there's always water somewhere.
Road.
Uh-huh.
There's some river. I don't know. Maybe the Seine. Maybe the Rhine. I don't know.
I don't think it's the Rhine.
It's not the Nile. I know that.
Pretty much. No, it's not that. But, you know, it amazes me. We see all these new places. We go to all these parts of Paris. The architecture is always so incredible and majestic, and just space is not a worry. There's plenty of open space. And I don't know how the French do it, but it's simply incredible. We should just hire them to build things in our cities, and we have a much nicer-looking place anywhere, really. It's just, I just get the feeling that people enjoy things. We saw a movie. We saw a great film.
Whoa, yeah.
The Mansky documentary.
Fête le mur.
Yeah, except that's not the title in English. The title is Exit Through the Gift Shop, I believe.
Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Yes. But the film itself was one thing, but the whole experience taught me something about French culture and how people just basically enjoy things so much more and relish things so much more. Now, we've seen this, we've commented on this with regards to food. People spend a lot of time in restaurants, just, you know, two-hour lunches, three-hour dinners.
And we like to go see movies and stuff overseas. It's sort of a fun experience when you're traveling because, you know, you're looking for things to do, and it's sort of a way to hang out with local people and you know, look at some art, you know, take yourself away from the traveling and the pickup and the put-down, all that. So it was particularly cool here in France because they have such a strong tradition of cinema and appreciation for it. And I don't think I've ever really watched a movie here.
No, I never have either, actually, except on TV, where they actually play film noir at night. You watch something, there was something on last night from the film Johnny Eager. It was on, I think it was 1942, on a regular national broadcasting channel. Imagine that. Imagine NBC just having a 1942 film on without commercial interruption, you know, at night. It doesn't happen. But the thing I noticed, which correlates to going out to eat, is that people enjoy films the same way. They basically...
they hung out afterwards.
They wait on long lines beforehand. They really are into whatever film is playing. We passed through a whole bunch of different theaters because we were looking for something that was playing in English, and they all had long lines of people out to see some kind of film for the night. And, yeah, after it was over... Go ahead.
No, no, I was just going to say the theaters are split up. That was weird in and of itself. It's a whole different story. But, there's not a lot of big megaplexes, but the same chains will split their theaters between two buildings. And we had to sort of bounce around to find tickets. But once we found the one theater from this one particular chain that was playing movie in English, we realized that, you know, these people really are into it because they're, you know, line up around the block.
Well, here's the thing that really struck me, though. I'm a stickler for credits, even though credits are so minuscule these days and they rocket by at the speed of light. It's sad. But what I noticed at the end of this film was that not one person stood up when the credits started to air. Not one person. It was maybe about 2 or 3 minutes in when the first person stood up to leave. But people stayed. The vast majority of people stayed throughout the entire end credits. And they weren't necessarily entertaining end credits. They were just basically factual ones. They stayed to the very end. And after that, they stayed and talked about the film amongst themselves. They just were conversing. They didn't get up. They stayed in their seats maybe at least 5 minutes afterwards. They were still there. And, wow, what a way to live, you know, where you can just sort of relax and enjoy things and take your time and not be in a rush. And I think there were just so many aspects of French life that are like that, where people just kind of sit back and relax. You know, one of the more annoying ones is walking. People walk very... they get in your way, they slow down, they just don't seem to be in a hurry to do anything. Okay, fine, you know, I'll give them that. But you can really enjoy life a lot if you just sit back and let things happen.
Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't do that here, though, because we have to race and get a train.
Yeah, I would really like to expand on all these things when I'm awake and when I'm not in a hurry.
All right, what we're going to do now is turn this thing off, run across the street to the train station, which hopefully they're not having a strike today. Sometimes they have strikes. Sometimes they just shut down.
Come on. Yeah.
Well, yesterday all the escalators weren't working for some reason. Apparently they went on strike. So what we'll do is we'll go on the train, which will have a special four-letter code, hopefully get to the airport, have a fight with the people at security regarding your film, then learn something about law enforcement in France. It'll be fascinating. And we'll come back on after that. And, you know, I think this role was tainted. we'll come back on after that and report. Are you going to put the crown on? Kyle is putting the crown on.
It won't stay on, but yeah, there you go.
It'll stay on. It will stay on. People will get used to it, and they'll have to deal with it. All right. It's been fun. Now it's time to do battle.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Chant de France.
Du pont des supplices. S'est brouillé au café de Flore. La faune et la flore. On allume le monde dans une fumée blonde. Maintenant que deviennent, que deviennent les valses d'où viennent. Dis-moi qu'est-ce que t'as fait dans ces années, si les mots sont les mêmes, dis-moi si tu m'aimes.
qu'elles deviennent, les valses deviennent et les volets qui grincent d'un château de province. Aujourd'hui, quand tu danses, à quoi tu penses? Dans la Rome antique, errent les romantiques, les amours infidèles. Logiciel du fond de la nuit remonte l'ennui et nos chagrins de môme dans les pages du grand monde. Maintenant que deviennent les valses deviennent, dis-moi qu'est-ce que t'as fait dans ces années, si les mots sont les mêmes, moi si tu m'aimes. Maintenant que deviennent les valses deviennent et les volets qui grincent d'un château de province. Aujourd'hui quand tu danses, dis à quoi tu penses. Pendant ces années, si les mots sont les mêmes, dis-moi si tu m'aimes, si tu m'aimes. Maintenant que deviennent les valses deviennent et les volets qui grincent d'un château de province. Aujourd'hui quand tu danses, dis à quoi tu penses.
And just to give people an update on what happened after we actually took off, Kyle had no trouble at all with this film. He was able to get through no problem. And I, of course, was detained in the United States. You can hear all that story in the January episodes of both Off the Hook and Off the Wall. Find them on 2600.com. Going to go out with some more French radio. This not your typical French music. Maybe like Arabic dubstep or something. I'm not really sure. Write to us, otw@2600.com. See you next week. Good night.
تنتهي لنا لا حقدر اوصل ولا حقدك على حصاني يا ست الحسن مين قالك انا شاطر حسن تاني لنا لا حقدر اوصل ولا حقدك على حصاني ولا بسيتي حشق الكون وطير بيتي لمملكتي انا عاشق ماليش مدنون وست الحسن مش انتي ولا بسيتي حشق الكون وطير بيتي لمملكتي ده انا عاشق ماليش مدنون وست الحسن مش انتي
فرحتي في ليلي يا ست الحسن Kids, Finn with you, Finn's Revolution, until the 9 p.m. hour every Tuesday night. For this particular little stretch here, we're going to be doing nothing but holiday music. It's going to be a twisted, twisted Christmas special. So stay tuned.
Complain. I walk back to our coast. I picked up a sheet, shed its needles down the drain. Now everybody is talking about the kisses and the hugs and all the little heartstrings that the festive season tugs. Began to shop about. I looked for some new sex shop that I read of in Time Out. I bought a gadget that the man said would make you scream and shout, but it didn't come with batteries, and we could not find a spout. And like so many Christmas presents, we threw it out. Now everybody's talking about the kisses and the hugs and all the little heartstrings that the festive season tugs. It is. Now all the crepe and tinsel is left lying on the floor, and the wreath we hung up weeks ago is rotting on the door, and I'd like to punch the lights out of that crooked tree vendor. If I saw St. Nick tonight, there'd be a scene of gore. I'd throw a match into the fire and make the chimney roar. Talking about the kisses and the hugs and all the little heartstrings that the festive season tugs. But all I see are lagerlouts, shoplifters and thugs. So fill mine up, 'cause Christmas is for mugs. Is for mugs. Fill mine up, 'cause Christmas is for mugs.
Mugs. you.